T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Should he come to Kansas City? Should he come to Kansas City? We lost those drops.
Now we got him. Cut him.
Should he come to Kansas City?
Do it again.
No, I want the person in the office that cut him before to cut him again, if that's all right.
All right.
I say yes. Why not?
I'm all for it, too, and it's a stray from the usual for me. But I'm like, yeah, what the hell?
And Ndamukong Suh.
So I'm on SportsCenter yesterday.
Was making the rounds at ESPN. Looks like the Bucks are out of the picture, he says, to ESPN. But he hopes to be playing next season. Why not? A one-year mercenary flyer.
Might as well, right?
What else you got going at defensive tackle right now?
That's where I am on this one. He is 35. It's not normally what I do, but for a year.
Do you still need somebody that can try to get after the quarterback a little bit?
Yeah.
Did it work in Tampa for a bit? Yeah, it did.
Do you realize he started 131 of the 133 games he was eligible to start so far in his career? He's durable.
Yeah.
He's durable. And
I say why not?
I say why not, too. Again, it's totally off the beaten path for me, but at this late in the game, why not? What do you got to lose? 1 year of a salary? How much are you going to pay him, truly? A couple million bucks to come in here at this point in time, right? If nobody's bidding for him, bring him in. Give him a cheapo contract. Load him with incentives. See what he can do.
He signed one-year deals in 19, 20, and 21 with the Bucks. He was more than that. I mean, he was 9.2, 8 million, and 9 million.
Yeah, but he's also now 35 years old, and the demand isn't there for him now, too. Supply and demand, you know?
Four million?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go 5 or 6 probably. It's okay. Not my money, you know, whatever they. But I would, I would. 1 year, why not?
Yes, I would absolutely. Do
I'm not investing long term.
Oh, not a chance.
But at this stage of the game,
this guy's comfortable playing 1 year contract.
1 year contract.
He's done it for a bunch.
Let's go.
What else you got going on defensive line right now?
Not a lot.
I think you're still in the market.
Yeah, I do too.
Throw a flyer that way.
What the hell, it's not going to hurt anything if he gets injured and he does get hurt, which his track record has proven that he doesn't. So you got a couple million bucks. Big deal.
So should he come to Kansas City? My answer would
be
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Be on your way to Kansas City once you're off the support center set.
Right.
Be very nice. So yes for me. The Royals could be in the trade market, should be in the trade market. It's coming, right? We're under a month-ish, right?
August 2nd or 3rd is the deadline this year.
So 6 weeks.
Roughly.
Yeah, 6 weeks instead of a month.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Get after it. J.P. Morosi discussing a potential Andrew Benintendi trade.
I think Andrew Benintendi, Lauren, is going to be one of the most highly coveted lefty bats anywhere in the major leagues this summer. And I'm already hearing reports about different teams starting to show some preliminary interest. I'll mention two of them right here. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Toronto Blue Jays. Both have had some needs for lefty power. You just covered earlier on in this hour the great career of Lorenzo Cain and his time in Milwaukee coming to a close. They do need a bat. And you think about how well the Cardinals have played of late, whether that move happens now or closer to August 2nd, I think Benintendi to Milwaukee would be a tremendous fit. And the Blue Jays, they're so right-handed. They're, of course, trying to catch up on the Yankees right now. Benintendi could be a great fit for Toronto. He also might actually be a pretty good fit for the New York Yankees as well. But I'm feeling pretty sure that by the morning of August the 3rd, Lauren, Andrew Benintendi's playing for a different team besides the Kansas City
August
Royals.
3rd, different this year. Dayton Moore's going to be busy. So are you, my friend.
Thank you very much for tuning in, JP. Yeah. Most coveted left-handed. Okay. Yes. Good.
Good. Drive the price up.
Yes. Get a good, somebody's good prospect that needs to deal them to you. Great news. Mm-hmm. Great news.
Yeah.
I don't want pennies on the dollar sales. I want stuff that makes sense. This makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense to trade them yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes sense to get more than an A-ball pitcher back in return. However, this is where you get into the conundrum of these trade deadline trades, because usually the team that's trading the Johnny Cueto, Ben Zobrist, Andrew Benintendi, you know, if you're trading that veteran star, that team that's getting that veteran star usually benefits more than what you get back in return. Other than Sean Manaea, who's now no even longer with the A's, nobody in the Johnny Cueto or the Ben Zobrist trade ever amounted to anything in Major League Baseball. And that's the case for a lot of these trades. I mean, you go back and you look at some of the trade deadline trades, like go back to 93 when Fred McGriff was traded to the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta gave up Vince Moore, Donnie Elliott, and Melvin Nieves. Do you know any of those people?
I don't.
No.
Okay. They've never been in my kitchen.
They've never been in your kitchen, right? You don't know any of those people. The Cardinals got Mark McGwire from the A's for a handful of prospects back in the day. T.J. Matthews, and I think Blake Stein was involved in that trade, if I'm not mistaken, as well. He played here.
Blake Stein, yeah.
You go back and you look at Curt Schilling. He gets traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Philadelphia gets four players back in return. Omar Dahl, who is decent. Travis Lee and Vicente Padilla. I mean, you know, average at best type of players for their organization. The Red Sox got Orlando Cabrera and Doug Minkiewicz from the Cubs for Nomar Garciaparra.
Doug Minkiewicz.
Remember him here in Kansas City,
he had
right?
A song, I think, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he really have a song?
Uh-huh.
The CC Sabathia trade for the Indians. CC goes to the Brewers. The Indians get Rob Bryson, Zach Johnson, Matt LaPorta, and Michael Brantley, who was decent enough, but is that a great return? No, probably not. The Cardinals get Matt Holliday at the trade deadline deal for a bunch of, you know, prospects. Three prospects never really made it to the major leagues. And so these trade deadline deals are always...
You're not really selling me on it now.
That's the problem. Like, we want Andrew Benintendi to be traded. Andrew Benintendi should be traded. You can't handle Benintendi, right? He needs to go. They need to move on from Andrew Benintendi to get something back in return. But we're not turning over the roster with the people we get back for the Andrew Benintendi trade. More often than not, these trade deadline trades give you guys that are minor leaguers now, but don't necessarily turn into big leaguers that you can build the club around. Now, there's obviously exceptions to every single rule that is out there. I mean, the Mark Teixeira trade for the Atlanta Braves netted the Texas Rangers some pretty good prospects back in return back in the day. So they were able to benefit on that. There's been some trades over the years that have been decent enough, but none of these trade deadline trades are the catalyst to turn your entire organization around. But you still have to deal Andrew Benintendi. It shouldn't keep you from not trading him, because the odds of you getting great prospects in return are very slim. You still need to trade him, and you still need to get as much as you possibly can back in return.
You're not selling me on it. You still want to make a really splashy move, though, huh?
Well, I do, but the splashy moves really come in the offseason. And for me, I still think it's Salvador Perez. I mean, I still think Salvador Perez is the guy to trade to really get a lot back in return. And I mentioned Nomar Garciaparra. The Red Sox traded Nomar in 2004.
Nomar.
He was their starting shortstop in 2004. What did they do in 2004? They went on and won the World Series. They traded Nomar. Now, I don't go back to 2004 in Boston and look up the archives of what was going on back then, but I can't imagine the Boston faithful were very happy trading Nomar Garciaparra in 2004, right? Their star player, their star shortstop. They traded him in the middle of a pennant race, okay, from Yardbarker.
Yikes.
If not the best, Theo Epstein's trade that sent franchise player Nomar Garciaparra packing for Cabrera and Minkiewicz was certainly his gutsiest. The move vastly improved Boston's defense at shortstop and first base en route to breaking its World Series drought in 2004. Garcia Parra was in Chicago through 2005 before going on to the Dodgers. In the middle of a pennant race for a team that hadn't won a World Series in 83 years.
They traded Nomar.
They traded Nomar Garcia Parra. They had the guts to do it. And that's where I go back to the Salvador Perez trade. If the Red Sox can trade their starting shortstop in the middle of a pennant race, why can't the Royals trade Salvador Perez in the offseason and rebuild their roster that way? They talked about gutsy move.
They can. I just don't want to.
Why? I mean, honestly, give me a real reason why. Give me a good reason.
I love Salvi.
Okay, that's not a good enough reason. That's not a good enough reason. They talked about that was the gutsiest move.
They wanted
move.
To play his entire career as a Royal.
It's still not a good enough reason. Doesn't help your franchise.
He gives me reason to watch the lineup.
Excuse me?
He gives me a reason to watch the lineup. I want to see him at bat.
You want to see him hit? How many times did you see him hit last night?
Well, I didn't last night.
Okay,
but
there you go. Thanks.
Other time.
you still have
because I don't
want
to.
I don't want to. It's not a good enough answer. Yeah, and no. They talk about that being Theo Epstein's gutsiest move. I asked you, what's Dayton's gutsiest move? I don't know that he's had a true gutsy move. You could say the Will Myers.
I guess
trade.
Will Myers at the time felt pretty gutsy. Like you were giving away what was to be a legitimate top prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And a young player too, right? I mean, you were in a team and a franchise that's built on you got to have youth,
right?
You gave away youth. I guess that would be his gutsiest.
So that's
Greinke wasn't gutsy.
No,
Greinke didn't want to be here.
No,
that wasn't as gutsy. It could have backfired tremendously, right?
Sure, could have. Yeah, every trade could backfire.
Or you could have got nothing, right?
Right.
The value turned out great. I don't know if that was as gutsy. I guess Will Myers.
But you're kind of squinting when you say that because there haven't been a lot of moves.
I think
made,
it was gutsy
right?
at the time. Will Myers was gutsy at the time. There was a lot of debate whether or not that was a smart move or not.
They're still debating on that. The Royals went to two world championships and won another.
Well, there's
one.
No debating about it.
Oh, but the bloggers will debate about it.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. If they want, I guess. I don't.
Yes. The bloggers will debate.
No debate about it to me. I mean,
no.
Will Myers was okay, but. You won World Series.
Right.
And you,
banners fly forever. Yeah. Players don't. So what I'm getting at is, are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to take a chance? Are you willing to be gutsy to be good? Boston was willing to do that with one of their best players in 2004, a fan favorite in 2004, in the middle of a pennant race. They were willing to make that move. The only way you can get better is if you trade players that have something that other teams are willing to pay for and give you back in return. Trading guys like Benintendi at the trade deadline or a random reliever or anybody
Sally
else.
Has the opportunity to bring you the most in an offseason deal.
You got to be gutsy. You got to be gutsy. How much are you willing to risk to win? Because keeping Salvador Perez right now is not helping you. It's nice to watch him play out his final years here in Kansas City. But you're not winning with Salvador Perez right now. It would be a gutsy move, yes. Would fans hate it? Yes. For 48 hours.
Well, I don't want to.
For 48 hours, fans would complain, turn the radio off, don't read blogs, move on to whatever's next, go on vacation, don't deal with it for 2 days, come back and people have moved on and they forgot. And you do it in the middle of the football season when the Chiefs are getting ready to go to another Super Bowl, nobody's going to remember it. You go out there, you've got to take risks. You've got to take chances. The way that they've done business over the last 7 or 8 years with not being transactional just isn't working anymore. You've got a beautiful trade chip in Salvador Perez. Use it.
Work smarter, not harder, NFL coach. Next.
Fesco in the morning, where Kling has no time for your BS.
How many meetings do you have to go to as the athletic director at Nebraska before you land on the one that deals with helium quantities on campus?
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Turn on the good times, turn off the TV. Yeah, the only BS I need.
You want to get to a few texts at 913-586-7610?
I like this song. I have this on my running
playlist. When you were running gassers the other day?
I was outside. Yeah, very hot. I ran 5 on Sunday outside, too. That was stupid. But sometimes you just like to get a good lather of sweat going, you know?
I hate to say this. I'm kind of getting used to the heat.
Oh, yeah.
It takes about a week, and they're like, man, it's hot. Big deal.
Yeah.
Call me in February when it's -3.
You know what I mean? It's oppressively hot for about a week, and then it's like, all right, it's hot. Yeah, it's hot. I just go outside. It's hot.
It's just a bad mixture.
I've entered that phase. Like, it's hot.
If it wasn't so humid, it wouldn't be that big a deal.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
7:45 on Saturday morning, and the humidity was thick as soup.
That's what it is. If it was 100 degrees and no humid, we'd be Arizona. It'd be fine. You wouldn't even notice it. As my mother would always say, an oven's dry heat, too. Yes, it is. Correct. That's why the chicken was always dried out.
Did she do lemon pepper chicken?
Gutsiest move, someone said, was holding on to Kane, Haas, and Moose at the deadline in 2017. I would say the gutsier move would have been to trade them all and make you all mad.
It would have been the right move, though.
Maximizing their value. Yeah, it would have been the right move. Would have been to move on from
the right move. Gutsy, would have been at the end of the parade. You're going to Tampa. You're going to Texas.
That would have been the gutsy. You know. That would have been the gutsy move. I don't think the holding on to them was gutsy.
But they always talk about, you know, the owner wanting them to go for it. And so they did. I mean, David Glass was clearly at the end of his reign as the owner of the Royals, wanted to put one more push out there. The owner says, "Do it, you do it."
And
right?
I didn't mind it.
No, you didn't.
Because you don't know when the next one's coming.
You didn't
ride that
you
train.
And if Kane and Moose don't get hurt in 2016, they're probably back in the playoffs.
Someone asked, if Salvador Perez gets traded, where does the leadership and the power bat of this team come from? 24-42.
Yeah, they've won 24 games.
I wish I had a better argument for you than I don't want to, Bob.
Which is a better argument than this one, though.
Because that's it. Because legitimately, if you say who brings you back the most to try to, you know, jumpstart to rebuild, it's Salvador Perez.
Absolutely, it is.
There's no doubt about it.
Unless you're willing to trade one of the young pitchers or Bobby Witt Jr. or MJ Melendez or somebody of that nature, unless you're willing to do that, that would be gutsy.
I don't even know if there's valuable salvi. I mean, other than Bobby Witt Jr., but like any of the pitchers?
No.
I don't think the pitchers bring any value right now.
I don't think so.
Well, somebody's banking on upside, but I don't think you get as much back for that as you would salvi.
I mean, the only legit argument that you can give me for not trading Salvador Perez is because I don't want to. And it sounds like ridiculous, but from a baseball standpoint, where I sit and the way I view it, now I'm sure there's minutia that goes on behind the scenes. He's got the 10-5. He can veto all of that nonsense. I'm looking at a 36,000 foot view of this whole thing. If you want to have the best asset on your team and get the most back in return and fast forward this rebuild process, Salvador Perez is the trade piece.
Or not even fast forward, just try to figure out if you're in a phase.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in a phase. I don't know.
I don't know where they are right now.
I would like to think they were, but I don't know.
Right.
And then someone says, would you trade this? Or would you trust this group to make a trade? Well, did Greinke work out?
Yeah.
Did what I call the gutsiest move, the Will Myers trade, work out? Yeah, I mean, they made...
The two biggest trades that they made, the two gutsiest, worked. If you will, worked brilliantly. Won them a world championship.
Worked. Absolutely worked.
So, yes, I
would say that.
Yeah,
yes.
I do trust them to make trades. Even the Johnny Cueto trade paid off. They didn't lose anybody in that trade. And other than, you know, a 4 ERA with Sean Manaea, who'd be the ace of this staff. But other than that, the Ben Zobrist trade, every trade that the Royals truly made, like legit trade, has worked out for them. So do I? Yeah, I absolutely trust
an off-season
them.
Winter
absolutely.
Meetings type trade. Yes.
Absolutely. That's 100%. We're not talking about trading Salvi now at the deadline, because you don't get much back now. But in the off-season, the big blockbuster trades, but you also have to have teams willing to be able to be your trade partner. I get that. I understand that. I'm not sitting here saying you must trade Salvi, But if we're sitting around trying to figure out the best way to rebuild this franchise and get the most back in return and to maximize your assets, trading Salvi is the best asset that you have. He's going to get you more in return than anybody else in this organization right now.
913-586-7610, the text line always open for you. This story just makes me angry.
Okay.
Got a lot of angst today, Kling.
People like this just make me angry. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Me?
This is the headline from SI. Bills coach Sean McDermott no longer sleeping in his office. Why the hell were you doing that in the first place?
Yeah, come on, man. These coaches who think they got to work from 4 a.m. to 1 a.m. and all this nonsense is stupid. It's not healthy.
The hardworking McDermott is no stranger to long hours and all-nighters, but he told Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News that he's placed an emphasis on his work-life balance now. McDermott said he no longer... I'm sorry, the ad just popped up. No longer... That he's no longer spending the night in his office. And he no longer wants to spend so much time away from his family. The older I've gotten, the more you want to be a good husband, want to be a good father, want to be a good son and brother. There's a balance.
Being at the office 20 hours a day is not,
helping anybody.
It's not helping anybody.
It's not helping you.
No, it's not even helping you. Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand these coaches.
It's not productive for you.
No, it's stupid.
Go home, get a good night's rest.
It's not healthy for your staff either to have people there that long.
And let's be honest, if that guy's sleeping at the office, you don't think there are others who are like, I guess I gotta sleep at the office too.
Oh yeah, I know they do.
I gotta match this guy.
They do. Over the years, you've heard stories.
If he doesn't go home, how the hell can I go home?
Yep. And now all of a sudden, your offensive coordinator's there at 1 a.m. because you won't leave, and he wants to go see his kid's little league game.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb. Any coach that's doing that still is ridiculously
dumb.
No longer sleeping
at the office.
You're sleeping at the office? Why? Life's not long enough to sleep at the office. I don't care what your job is. Your job isn't that important. You're a football coach, too. That's the other thing. You're not really doing important things. You know, it's not like you're creating a cure for cancer or, you know, doing something that we could all benefit in. You're legit coaching 17 games a year. There's no reason to sleep at the office.
Go home. I don't know what the commute is in Buffalo, but it probably ain't far. It's like here.
Yeah, go home.
Don't be sleeping at the office
here. Get out of the office by 9 o'clock and come back at 6. It's okay. It's okay.
Not even 9 o'clock. What are you doing at 9 o'clock?
I don't know. I was just trying to give him a benefit of the doubt, trying to find like a happy
medium.
Players
are gone at like 3.
Yeah, 3 or 4. They're out the door.
Yeah.
6 o'clock, out the door.
6 o'clock, tidy up and go.
Yeah, go home, turn it off, spend some time with your family.
Yeah, yeah. Be a dad, be a husband, be a father, be a wife, or whatever you want to be, you know? I think when I look at these coaches that are doing it, I'm hoping the younger generation now of coaches like this guy down in Miami who's like 36 years old and some of these, like you look at Sean McVay right now, he's enjoying life, right? He's, you know, he doesn't want to do this much longer. I got a wife now that's, you know, wants me to spend time. We're probably going to want to start a family. I don't want to be here doing all this kind of stuff. I'm hoping some of these young coaches turn this around and make some of these, you know, lifers, if you will, realize that they don't need to be at the office. They don't need to have a military cot.
You don't need a cot in your office. I mean, if you nod off, take a cat nap during the day, I don't care.
Fine. Be Costanza. Go under your desk.
But you're just not going home because they got to draw plays or something?
Yeah,
what the hell?
What are you really accomplishing?
Nothing.
Have you ever heard the term work smarter, not harder?
Yes.
Yeah, these football coaches need to start working a lot smarter, not harder, because as you know, the mind starts to go. I always equate this back to like cramming for a test. You can never remember stuff that night, but you go to bed, you get a good night's sleep, you wake up refreshed, and you can remember a lot of the stuff.
Only all-nighter a couple times. Horribly bad. Like, didn't help you on the test, didn't cram any more information in. Mm-hmm. There's a finite amount of time when your brain's going, I think.
Yeah, there is. And your brain eventually just says, I'm done.
I'm done.
It's like when you work out. Eventually, your body taps out. We're done for the day.
Shut her down. What are you doing sleeping in your office?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Well, now I guess this is why they should be anointed paper champions, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the coach has found balance.
It's unhealthy, too.
Bill's team's going
to
win now.
How you take care of your body? You need to recharge. You need to refresh. You need to relax. You need to give your body the ample opportunity to kind of rejuvenate overnight. That's why sleep is so important. I mean, staying past midnight and getting there before 6 a.m., what are you doing? Who are you? What are you out to prove?
I'm going to put in more hours.
Good for you.
And Think about the stress he's put on the rest of his coaching staff.
And that's the other thing, because there's like 20 other coaches that are going, God, this guy won't go home.
Some other young coach is like, I guess I can't go home. Guess I can't go to my kid's game. This guy's not leaving the office.
Right.
That's not good for anybody.
Hey, you want to have dinner tonight? Your wife calls. Well,
I don't know
if McDermott's here until 1 a.m. I can't go.
His light's still on. I don't even think he's going home tonight.
Yeah. And then the wife's like, well, what are we doing here? You're like literally like a quality control coach making $25,000 a year and you're working 20 hours a day.
This guy's there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
there's somebody that has attached to his hip that has to stay there too.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
Right? Okay. They need to actually interview McDermott's whatever.
Hmm.
McDermott's Field Yates.
Yeah.
Field Yates of ESPN, who used to be Todd Haley's.
I talked to a former NFL player recently.
Todd Haley's Bobo.
Yeah. I talked to a former NFL player recently about, like, you know, life after football, and somebody, you know, brought up, why don't you coach? And the response was, why? To be there that long, away from the family that long?
Yeah.
And this person I was talking to was like, when I was playing, the head coach would be there for hours, and none of the assistants would leave because they couldn't leave.
They couldn't, yeah. Couldn't feel like they could leave.
Right.
I'm
and
sure.
So, you know, you're putting a lot of stress on everybody else that works for you. I don't know that that's productive.
No, not productive and definitely not healthy.
No, stupid.
The countdown continues as we get closer to football.
77 days or something like that until football. Glad you guys got your gassers in this weekend. Was reading up a little bit on Rod Johnson over the weekend, too.
Yeah, good.
A lot of great stuff going on there. But big question for the day, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. Is he doing more harm than good to his contract situation by not having an agent?
Remains to be seen at this point. I think if he has an agent, he has signed a long-term deal already with the Ravens. Like the agent goes, we're doing this. You're signing this contract. This is going to be good for you. Let's go.
Right.
The fact that he doesn't have an agent and doesn't seem to have a care about signing or not, one is a good spot to be in, I think. He doesn't seem very stressed about it all. The Ravens don't seem very stressed about it all. They're like, we'll deal with you when you're ready.
More people outside are talking about it than inside, right?
So the only way he harms himself is if he plays badly and they decide that they don't want him.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, he's done no harm. He's just...
And I will say this to you. Who are you going to get, Baker Mayfield?
Maybe a draft guy. I don't know. But if he plays badly and you decide you're moving on from him, then he may hurt himself. But otherwise, I don't think he is at all.
I don't think he's hurting himself at all.
He would have had a contract, though, had he had a guy.
Maybe the guy would try to force you to sign a contract, but at the end of the day, you'd like to think that the player has full control, which we know he doesn't. The agent runs the show for these guys. I'm interested to see how it's going to play out, though, Josh. I am, because if he has a successful time, easy time, gets what he wants, very happy, and did it himself, I wonder how many more players will say, huh, why am I thumbing off 3% to this guy or gal to do this stuff for me when I could do it myself and be 3% richer?
Because not everybody can get that done for themselves.
You're right. You're right.
A quarterback maybe a little bit easier. But, I mean, Tyreek Hill ain't getting his deal without his 3% he cuts off. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of examples I give you like, oh, it'd be a wiser move for you to hire somebody. It might be wiser for him to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It might, you know, the nuances of doing a contract and the devil in the details kind of thing, maybe better left to someone that handles this all the time, but maybe not. Maybe they've all agreed on a number and it's like, okay, when I'm ready, I'm ready.
Why can't a contract just be a one sheet with a couple of bullet points and then we all agree to it and go on? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you this amount for this many years. This is the guaranteed money. And done. Right? I mean, like, here's a couple of things we may have to do in the community.
You gotta have your voidable years and all that stuff, and you know.
Do they put that in a contract, or are they just voidable?
No, I think But you know how they figure out, like, this is when they could really get away from the contract? Like, yeah. Those kind of details? Yeah. You wouldn't figure up that math on your own, you know?
There should just be, like, a boilerplate contract where you just fill in the numbers and hit send, and then it computes it all, so you don't have to deal with it. It's kind of standardized contracts.
Like a Rocket Mortgage show. Like the Rocket Mortgage app or something, where you just type it in and it tells you how much your payment's going to be.
But, you know, I tell Orlando Brown, go bet on yourself this year. I'd say the same thing to Lamar. You know what? Go bet on yourself, man. You may hit the free agent market and get more money.
It remains to be seen. Plays bad, gets hurt, different story. But at this point in time, he's in no hurry. The team's in no hurry. Feels like it's fine.
And they protect the quarterbacks in this league, too, like it's nobody's business. Now, I know he's a little bit different. He's running. He's running a little bit more, but I don't know. I don't have a problem with him, no agent, and betting on himself.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes is poised to have a big year. I like that Tyreek Hill seemingly dissed him. I like that he's being left off of various lists. I like that there's some doubt creeping in, or boredom, that people are tired of anointing Patrick Mahomes, and so you got to get Josh Allen above him. Or
I think you're right with boredom. That's a really good word to use for the national media with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, 2 days in a row, ESPN has been debating whether or not he's going to have a bounce back season.
He's just going to have a normal season is what he's going to have.
He's going to have a Mahomesian
now,
type
whether
season.
Whether they win at all remains to be seen, but he's going to have a normal season. The numbers are, I keep telling everybody, the normal numbers are going to be the same. 4,800 yards plus or minus. 37 touchdowns plus or minus.
Yeah.
Low teens in picks plus or minus. I mean, it's all going to be in the same neighborhood.
Right.
There's nothing to worry about.
I just feel like Patrick Mahomes this offseason is as focused and refocused and regrounded as he's been maybe since the New England loss in the AFC Championship game. You know, where they really put their mind to it that offseason that they were going to the Super Bowl. And they did, and they won the damn thing, right? I don't know that those offseasons have been the same necessarily for Patrick Mahomes. I just feel like this offseason he's been more focused. The man has had two Pat camps down there. That's saying a lot, right? He's getting everybody to go to these Pat camps to try to be better, to work outside of the normal allotted practice time because they want to get better. I feel like Patrick Mahomes has an axe to grind, has a chip on his shoulder, whatever the saying is that you want to use. He's not letting it all show right now, but I think by the time September 11th rolls around and this first game is here, we're going to see that killer instinct with Patrick Mahomes that we saw the first couple of years of his career.
Dominic Foxworth on ESPN says Patrick's in a spot. It's just playing for championships.
He's already reached that point in career where championships is all that matters. It's all we count for him. But to your point about him using this as motivation, I think this is a perfect example of what the way that athletes hear something totally different than we do. Because I didn't think what Tyreek Hill said meant that much. And like, Patrick Mahomes went through a whole long soliloquy about the history of this offense. It's clear that got under his skin, because Tyreek Hill said very clearly, obviously he's not a better quarterback. He's just trying to hype up his new guy and move some podcast units, but it's still whatever. It got under his skin to some degree, which is shocking to me.
Moving podcast units, which is great. No, yeah. I'm glad it got under his skin. I'm glad he heard a little bit about it. That's fine. I'm glad he's recognized his second half against Cincinnati Bengals wasn't up to his standard. All of it's great. Fuel.
Right.
He's already been paid. He doesn't deal with the fact that the Chiefs took the money thing off the table like right away.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Could you imagine all the distraction of stuff that's going?
Right.
That would be going right now.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't done that.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
Should Lamar? We just did a whole thing about should Lamar get paid? Blah blah blah. Right. Or should he be sweating it? None of that with Mahomes. It's just about like going out and winning titles.
When you hear
it.
The beginning of that and you hear the stacking titles is all that matters, that's where we should all just say, I'm not looking at his stats this year. But now I understand we live in a fantasy football world and a betting world where people are betting and all that kind of stuff. But for me, who's not involved in a lot of that kind of stuff, doesn't really care all that much about the stats and whatnot. All I care about the wins and the losses, That's kind of where I am with Patrick Mahomes. I don't care what his numbers are. Is he better than last year? If they go to the playoffs and they win the Super Bowl again, then yet the answer is yes, he was better than last year. Can he win without Tyreek Hill? If he goes to the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill, then yes, he can win without Tyreek Hill. But his numbers weren't as good. So what were the end results? Well, where did they end up at the end of the year? Were they holding the Lombardi Trophy? Were they holding the Lamar Hunt Trophy? The answer is yes to those questions. Then Patrick Mahomes had a better year without Tyreek Hill than he did the last 2 years with Tyreek Hill.
Yes. Dealing in little minutia.
Yeah, it's stacking titles. Stacking titles. He's the only quarterback right now in this league that you can use that term with, of stacking titles, because he's the one that A, needs to, first of all, and number two, is the one closest to being able to stack those titles. I don't think Matthew Stafford's got the shelf life that Patrick Mahomes does. Obviously, Tom Brady has already stacked his championships. Josh Allen doesn't have one yet. Before you can start stacking, you got to get your first. I mean, you got the guy in San Diego who can't overcome a bad coach. And then Joe Burrow doesn't have a title yet either. He's got to get his first. And people are wondering if he's a flash in the pan. He's got to show a little consistency. The guy that really needs to stack the titles is Patrick Mahomes. And that is all that matters right now. Not his numbers, not his stats, not his yards, not his touchdowns. Did you win a championship this year? That's the defining mark of a successful season.
I'm glad
going
it's
forward.
Become so simplified.
It's been that way for me for a while. I'm glad some people in the national level are
it's
finally
great.
Starting to realize
it's great.
It. Yeah.
Don't have to worry about the money. You don't have to worry about just can you win? Can you win or not?
Right. Somebody says define a bounce back season for Mahomes.
Yeah,
breaking
I don't
the
know.
Passing yards and touchdowns, right? No, winning the Super Bowl. That's all I don't care about his stats. I really don't. I don't ever look at his stats.
Well, I don't know what he would bounce back from. It didn't quite satisfy the eye test at
no,
times
it did
last
not.
Year. So that's it. You can fully open your eyes opposed to a little bit of squint to see his game.
I mean, if that's any other quarterback,
great.
You look at last year, go, he had a pretty good year.
This feels like, yeah.
He had a normal quarterback year,
he needs
right?
to work on his footwork in year two. I mean, I don't know.
Stop throwing interceptions early in the season.
Yeah, I guess. You know? He only had 13, by the way.
I know, it's like, which is nuts. It felt like he was on pace for 13 by week two for whatever, you know.
Yeah, he ended up with 13 interceptions. That's fine. More than fine.
But what you see the last 30 minutes and 5 seconds is a very bad taste in your mouth. That's your lasting impression. So you look at that game. Play better in the last 30 minutes of a playoff game. That's a bounce back season. Don't play like garbage in the last 30 minutes of the playoff game.
It's not saying a whole lot, but I found something I'd watch more than baseball. We'll get to that next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We had another player is moving to LIV Golf. Brooks Koepka now is moving over to LIV Golf a week after the U.S. Open, when he wanted everybody to talk about the U.S. Open because it was distracting. It was the media was casting a black cloud over the U.S. Open.
Oh, were they?
But
the
not
media?
Talking about the U.S. Open,
right?
And only talking about PGA Tour versus LIV Golf. And this week he's now. According to reports this morning, he's now leaving for LIV Golf.
Yeah, it's the media's fault, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah. Yep. The media's fault. So. Brooks Koepka had another name that has slid over to the money side.
Yeah, taking the cash, man.
To the money side. So this was a video that was going around yesterday. It looks like it's at some kind of... like a fair, like a Renaissance fair or something, maybe.
I don't know what this is.
Maybe
at.
This is at a Renaissance fair where we don't know that there were gentlemen. I can only say these are guys. They have to be guys, right? They don't show their face. They have to be guys. Women are not doing this because they're the smarter sex.
Right.
They have.
Yeah.
I mean, these are two dudes. Okay.
Yeah, women are not sitting around doing
so
this.
They have the helmet armor on.
Mm-hmm. It didn't look like a thick piece of armor either.
And they're frumping each other upside the head with a frying pan.
They're smacking each other in the head with a
and
frying pan.
Basically seeing who can take it.
It's a cast iron pan.
It's a cast iron pan with a metal helmet on.
And they're smacking each other in the head.
This video is great because it's like
sitting
40 seconds. They're sitting on a bench.
Mm-hmm.
facing
like a
each other.
Teeter-totter almost.
Facing each other. And it's basically a slap contest, except for they're not slapping faces. They're slapping a metal helmet with a frying pan.
That's right. A cast iron pan. They're getting slapped in the head. And so again, I don't think the helmets look that thick, Josh.
No, not at all. This looks like both people should probably be concussed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, the unfortunately, these two will be part of a study later on.
Right. CTE in its infancy here.
So each takes a swing at the other.
Mm-hmm. And the object is to knock the other guy off the bench.
Right, right. Yeah. Or knock him unconscious.
Yeah, or knock him out.
So one person takes, boom, two shots.
I mean, look at all the people standing around watching this and taking video. And, like, I can't believe I'm witnessing
right,
this.
Of course. And then, boom, they see the second shot, and the person just clearly concussed, like, falls off the bench.
Right.
You asked me how long I could watch this.
Mm-hmm. Like, if this was if this was an event on TV, how long would you be in for?
Oh, a full like half-hour episode.
They could only be about a half-hour episode.
Yeah,
like,
I would
it
think.
Would get boring after
like,
a while.
Like, I would watch those slap contests if they were more universally distributed.
But how long would you
stay
with
it? The ones where they slap, you know.
They actually lather up the powder and slap them on the face. Yes.
They slap. I could watch that for a good half hour.
Oh, easy.
But not much more than that. Like, you're talking a half hour show with three commercial breaks, like a sitcom used to be back in the day.
And for have like sports, isn't that an eternity?
Well, it is. It is an eternity for sports.
If you got me a half hour on a sport, you're winning.
Coming up tonight from 8 to 8:30 on ABC is the slap competition.
Yes.
You have three different matches in a 30-minute. You're in, right? You're going to watch that. Yeah.
Especially depending on the matchups. We got the 350-pound bruiser against the 175 lightweight.
Right, and you can gamble on this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in.
Or this frying pan one? I don't know. Give me three rounds of this.
And then you interview the guy afterwards.
You have a four down to two, and you do three.
What do you think the mush would be like coming out of that guy's mouth after he was done? What'd you think about being slapped upside the head in the temple?
Hey, Adrian.
Like, it's crazy. I don't know how many episodes I would be back for, because I feel like once I've seen it, I've seen it. We know eventually one of these dopes is going to fall off the bench.
Right, right.
Maybe, how long it takes, I don't know. Who is it going to be, I don't
know. Chet's up there. He's yet to be concussed in this competition.
Chet Holmgren?
Could this be the time that Chet takes a frying pan to the side of the head and actually goes night-night?
Is that like
Find out.
Is that a graphic on the screen? Times concussed?
Yeah,
zero?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no concussion protocol in this thing. This looks like just two idiots hitting each other at the frying pan at a Renaissance festival in front of tens of people.
Yeah, literally, there's like seven people there. Right. One guy's got the video camera going with his phone in a bizarre way with his gut hanging over his belt.
There's literally a kid in the background with his hands on his head. Like, the most rational person's like an eight-year-old. He's going, what is this?
Yeah, there's mom and grandma standing there videotaping this. Some guy's got a turkey leg. Another baby's being pushed in a carriage.
There's definitely turkey leg.
Oh, hey, Maude, we need to get over here to the pan-slapping competition.
This is awesome.
So what are you watching more of, the cornhole championships or the pan-frying slapping?
Cornhole. I would watch cornhole more.
Pan-frying.
Yeah. I'm all definitive. In for pan-frying.
Because with cornhole, we all think we can do that. I don't think I could sit there and take a frying pan to the head with a bad metal helmet
on.
No,
because
you have
a
common
modicum
sense.
Of judgment.
You have common sense. These idiots don't. I need to watch more of these idiots.
Yes. I need dummies putting it on the line for each other.
Based on what they're doing now.
Yeah.
They should be paid more than baseball players, because they're truly risking more than a baseball player ever risks.
Oh, yeah. If you took the helmet off one of these two guys right now and found out it's baseball, they'd be out till August.
I mean, Bryce Harper has a blister on his finger, and the world is in panic mode right now because he has a blister. My daughter has blisters all over her feet. She hasn't missed a soccer practice yet. Bryce Harper needs to suck it up. That's what, maybe they should do this to baseball players. You got a blister, and they'll slap you with a pan and see how it feels. Now get your ass out there and play.
This or First Take? It's this every day of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. All day. I'd probably watch this more than our own baseball team here in Kansas City right now.
Yes.
I think I've watched more of this today than I have the Royals this week.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a highlight this many times. Not even close.
No, I didn't know. I did not watch the game in Anaheim as much as I've watched this one.
I need the bios of these people now.
Well, that's the thing. You don't know who they are. And like, so
that's what I said. I'm just speculating they're men.
Are there world rankings for this?
Those have to be
men.
Yeah,
we need the tell of the
tape.
Power
rankings for this. Got to have more.
I mean, I know how this game started. Don't get me wrong. But I do need to know more now of these.
Oh, how did it start? Please,
they were drunk.
Us.
I mean, yes, come on, this is not even.
They were playing. They were playing beer pong, or in Kling's instance, crown pong, and
they,
you know,
just
things
smacked
elevated
each other in the head a couple times. You're like, this would be fun. Hey, we got that Renaissance fair coming up. Maybe we should do this.
Do you think they did that back in the day, back in the Renaissance era? Slap each other?
No,
the
they
head?
Used to run at each other with a giant. On a horse with a giant
right.
spear.
Yeah,
I mean,
who cares about the joust? Let's go slap each other with frying pans.
Yeah. That knockout blow is pretty impressive.
I mean, the guy
too.
Just kind of slowly falls off, right?
Yeah. Well, he took him a second to realize his mind was boggled. Yes.
Brain got scrambled.
And then somebody attached to that video a video of a Florida man beating an alligator with a cast iron pan and the alligator running away.
There's another event you believe would help fix baseball.
Yes, I don't. I was watching the College World Series yesterday, and there was an advertisement for Nickelodeon coming up, and this weekend, I guess it is, they're teeing off with the Nickelodeon Slime Cup.
Okay.
And it is basically a game of miniature golf on a big golf course with some of the, you can't do that on television, but Double Dare like obstacles that you have to golf through, right? And I thought was about this, and I'm like, okay, this could be fun to watch for a little bit. I'm sure the kiddos will love something like this, right? But like, you tee off out of a bowl of dog food with a big like club and, you know, just kind of crazy stuff, right? Miniature golf on a big golf course.
This LIV tour has taken off.
It really has. And every once in a while you get slimed on the course, right? And it's a team sport. SpongeBob is involved. There's only 7 holes. There's just an outrageous golf tournament, right? It's fun. I was thinking for baseball, if we want to improve the game of baseball from now on, beginning tonight, if you strike out, you get slimed.
Savannah Bananas style, probably, right?
A little more of that?
Yeah.
A little more of that ilk?
But I don't think the Bananas are throwing green slime on people, right? Have Nickelodeon come up with a sponsorship. If you strike out, when you're walking back to the dugout, you get slimed. Like the guy on deck slimes your ass. Would you not watch baseball?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
I'd actually be rooting for the strikeout then.
Absolutely. There's always a bucket of slime. Guy strikes out. Before the guy who behind him is on deck gets to the plate, he slimes his own teammate. I think I would watch baseball a lot more. Not that I don't watch it. I do. I was watching the Marlins-Mets yesterday. I was the viewer. But how much more would people be in on it if every time you struck out, like some of these 12 strikeout games, my God, you get slimed.
That's a lot of slime.
I mean, that is a ton of slime. I think we need to push this for Major League Baseball. And if you strike out looking double slime.
If an umpire misses a call, slimed.
Slime the umpire?
Yep.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Angel Hernandez getting covered.
That
you,
pitch
you
is
make
into
an
the pitch
error,
box.
Slimed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, if you make an error, you get stuffed into a locker. I have to sit in there for an inning. And then you get slimed. Why aren't we doing things like this in baseball? Why are we continually moving down the same path of the status quo in baseball? If we're going to go for bigger bases and a pitch clock, and you think that's going to save the game, I promise you, sliming strikeout victims will save the game.
Better chance.
A lot more than bigger bases will. You will get people involved in the game and be into the game. 2 strikes, the place is going to be going nuts. Even if it's your guy, strike out. I want to see you get slimed. And they're okay with the strikeout now in baseball. It's one of the 3 pure outcomes or whatever they like to tell you, right? Bigger bases and a pitch clock versus sliming people? Give me the slime.
Dayton Moore has a message for the fans that we'll get to next.
Listening to the home of what we learned with Billy Coombs.
Legend Ball, he's an expert on the city of St. Louis, but he says the people are rude and hateful and they suck.
Fridays at 9:50 on Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.